Hey there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. Great to be back with you once again this week on Blog Talk Radio. I'm a little late with the show this week. I apologize for that. It has been a very hectic week. In case you didn't hear, I put it out on Facebook, and some people know about this already. My wife Eileen had some major eye problems this week, but thanks be to God, everything seems to be okay. If you wouldn't mind, please keep Eileen in your prayers. She is on the mend. Things are looking better, but it was touch and go for a while there. God is good, I'll tell you, and I'm very grateful for all the prayers. But things have settled down, and I'm here. We're going to do the show. We're going to talk about the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. In addition, which, by the way, Sunday will be the seventh Sunday in ordinary time. We're going to talk about those Mass readings today on the program. In addition, though, to that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Gospel today and maybe yesterday and tomorrow, because they all tie in nicely together. We'll do that in the first half of the show, then we'll launch right into the Mass readings. I'm glad you're with me. This show means a lot to me. It's really nice to be able to reflect on the Mass readings. As you probably know, I do a morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia, where I read the Gospel, but I just don't have the time to really take a closer look at these readings and unpack them and really try to get the full or deeper message out of them. So that's why I like doing this show. And again, I thank you for sticking with me. As always, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm trying to come up with some ideas about Lent, so just bear with me. We'll see what we can do on this program. But I do invite you, if you can, to listen to Spirit in the Morning. You can check the podcast out if you're unable to listen to the program live simply by going to spiritinthemorning.com. But we're going to keep both shows going for the time being because, again, I really like to be able to talk about these readings in depth. Without further ado, let's get right into prayer. Let's start our show off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us a new day. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to get together to take a look at the Gospel and the readings, your message through sacred scripture. Father, send your Holy Spirit to inspire me today to be able to speak the message that you have for us today on the program, and also open our minds and our hearts to be able to really hear that message. Father, we lift up those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those dealing with addiction, those dealing with religious persecution or weather-related problems, financial issues, any other thing that takes away peace. Father, we ask you to please restore everyone's peace, especially anyone who is really suffering tonight. We lift up our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to bless them. We pray for an increase in vocations. We also pray for an end to abortion. And we pray for all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And we ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, thanks again for tuning into the show. I am Gary Zimek. We do this once a week, every Friday, on Blog Talk Radio, where we take a look at the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and try to throw some other reflections in, too. Very quickly, I want to remind you that I would love to come to speak to your parish. All you need to do is visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And let's try to set it up. If you're a worrier and need a little help, check out my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it through my website. You can get it at dynamiccatholic.com. Or check out your local Catholic bookstore as well. And in order to keep this program free of charge, if you would like to make a donation to my work, become a monthly sponsor maybe, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. While you're there, check out the Amazon links for all of your Amazon purchases or the Mystic Monk Coffee link. When you use any of those links, I get a little bit of a commission on your purchases, and that helps me to fund my full-time work. So I thank you in advance for anything you can do, and I thank you for anything that you have done. Also, please keep my work in your prayers. I would greatly appreciate that. Now, before we take a look at Sunday's Mass readings, the Gospels for the past few days and tomorrow's Gospel are really, really good. Something really special is happening. Let's go back to Thursday's Gospel. Jesus said, I'm just going to talk a little bit about this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is from Mark chapter 8. If you want to look it up in your Bible later on, you might want to just look through Mark chapter 8 and into chapter 9. Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and be killed and rise after 3 days. In other words, this was a tough message that he was giving to his disciples. He spoke about this openly, and what happened? Peter began to rebuke him. Not a really good idea. You know, you start to get a feel that it's not a good idea to tell Jesus what to do, right? And Peter did that. What Peter did, Peter said he was trying to really remove Jesus from fulfilling his mission. He was saying, no, Lord, and in some of the other gospel accounts, we get the specific wording, but Peter didn't want Jesus to suffer, to go through with what he had to do. And Jesus responded really harshly, get behind me, Satan, you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. So this was a tough message that Jesus had for his disciples, specifically Peter. Peter didn't want to hear that. The idea of carrying a cross. This is a tough message for us too. I want to be a disciple of Christ as well, but if I had my choice, I would rather not carry a cross. That's human nature. That's the way we are made. If we can help, if we can get away without suffering, we're going to choose that. That's what Peter was doing. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you're thinking not as God does, but as man does. In other words, we sometimes don't get the way that God operates, and that suffering is necessary. It's a necessary part of life. And in fact, it is the way to heaven. We will have to go through the cross in order to get to heaven. It's inevitable. We can't help it. Now, that's the message that we read in yesterday's gospel. In today's gospel, Jesus again brings this point home again. He summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, and listen, this is what you need to hear. This is a tough message, but it's one directed to you too. He said this, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Little hard to hear, isn't it? Little hard to hear the words of Jesus. If we're going to call ourselves disciples, and I'm sure you consider yourself a disciple, as do I, a disciple of Christ, he's telling us what we need to do. If you want to follow after Jesus, and listen to his wording here, if you want to follow after me, you need to do that. You need to follow after me. I can't be headed off in a different direction from Christ if I expect to be his follower, right? That's what following him means. Oftentimes we don't think about that word, but if I'm following, I have to follow his lead. I can't go in a different direction, or I can't go on ahead of Christ and say, all right, Jesus, you need to catch up with me. That just doesn't work. So if you wish to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what a follower of Jesus does. And if you really want to get shake it up a little bit, check out Luke 9:23, where St. Luke delivers the same message, but he specifies that if you want to follow after me, Jesus said, you must take up your cross daily, each day. It's a daily event, taking up your cross. It's tough. That is a tough message. But if you want to follow Christ, that's what you're called to do. What does that mean? Do you have to look for suffering? You don't have to look for suffering. Suffering will find you. But don't reject it either. A lot of times we complain rather than accept the suffering that comes our way. It's going to come our way. Sometimes it'll be severe. Sometimes it'll be minor. It'll be inconvenience. It'll be annoyance. Little things. That's suffering as well. just remember that it will come your way and that you shouldn't panic. You should embrace your suffering if you really want to be a follower of Jesus. And again, he goes on, he elaborates a little bit more. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. You get what he's saying there, right? He's saying, if you expect to get to heaven, eternal life, that's why we're here. That's why we were created. That's why we were created in the first place, in order to get to heaven. We're short-sighted sometimes, and we just look at this life, but that's not the reason you were created. You're created to live eternally with the Lord forever in heaven. If you want to get there, you essentially have to give up your life. You have to turn over your life to Christ in order to save your soul and make it to heaven. On the other hand, if you want to hang on to your life, you're not going to get to eternal life. I know that's a hard message, but that's what he's saying. In other words, turn it over to Christ. Turn your life over to Jesus and say, one day at a time, Jesus, I live for you today. You tell me what you need me to do. Holy Spirit, please inspire me. When you're baptized, you get the Holy Spirit. And that's a gift that you have to be able to do this, right? You're not asked to do this on your own. So, again, these are challenging words, but if you want to have a personal friendship with Jesus, we kick that term around a lot. I'm friends with Jesus. I have a relationship with him, so on and so forth. But oftentimes, we create our own version of Jesus. He's a lot easier to follow. My own version of Jesus is going to be a lot easier on me than the real version of Jesus, than the real Jesus. Because he's going to say things to me like, well, if you want to be my follower, you have to pick up your cross. I don't especially like to hear that, if I'm being totally honest. But he needs me to hear that. He needs me to hear the words that I must give up my life. Now, when you think about this, put yourself in the disciples' place when they're hearing this. Immediately after these harsh messages, what did Jesus do? And if you're following along with the daily mass readings, if you look at tomorrow's daily gospel, you'll see that Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And in the incident known as the Transfiguration, he was transfigured, and they got a glimpse of him in his heavenly glory. So in a sense, they got to see heaven. They needed to see a light at the end of the tunnel after some very tough messages. And that's exactly what Jesus did. In the same way, you and I are faced with challenges each day. There are challenges that each one of us face in our lives. If you're overwhelmed, if you're feeling overwhelmed, and there's a chance that you might be feeling overwhelmed tonight, what I recommend is you take a few minutes and just think about heaven. If you're somebody like me who tends to be anxious, I have a tendency toward anxiety. That's my nature. I've had that for a number of years. Thinking about heaven and all of its joys is a very pleasing thought. I would recommend you do that. And the more you meditate on heaven and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, ask him to guide your thoughts so that you're able to think about heaven, the more you do that, the more you will be able to appreciate it, number one, and number two, be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Because if you never think about it, if you don't spend some time, I'm not saying spend all of your day doing it, but if you don't spend some time of your day thinking about how great heaven is going to be, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to care enough to do what you need to do. That is, follow Christ, pick up your cross, listen to his commands, etc. You're not going to get there by doing nothing. You have to cooperate with the grace that he gives you. And oftentimes, that means doing things that you would rather not do, being nice to that person who you would rather not be nice to, going the extra mile, avoiding sin when you get these little temptations or the big temptations. But if you meditate on heaven, if you think about how great it will be and that eternal life with the Lord forever, then you're going to be more inclined to do what's necessary each day. And honestly, this life is a test. It's not a given that you're going to end up in heaven. I'm not going to mislead you and say that it is, because it's not. I'm not going to go against what Jesus said. He's very clear about this. So take it one day at a time, work on it, spend a little time thinking about heaven, and realize that it is going to be really sweet once you get there. Now, if you have any questions about anything that I just discussed or what I discuss about Sunday's gospel, you know where to find me, right? Gary@followingthetruth.com. Send me an email and we can talk. Let's now look at the Mass readings for Sunday, which is the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of Leviticus. Incidentally, it's a really tough book. When you pick out books in the Bible that are challenging, Leviticus is right there. Essentially, what it is a series of laws, regulations, rules for the priests. The Levites were the priests. So the book of Leviticus is all about these rules. Some good stuff in there, but it's not an easy read. If you're going to read the Bible, I wouldn't recommend that it be one of your first, second, third, fourth, or fifth choices. And, you know, it is a tough book. So let's do this gospel. I'm sorry, let's do this first reading. Leviticus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, 'Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen, do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.'" All right, so this was just a little snippet. This was a really quick reading. The Lord is speaking to Moses. And see, Moses is the go-between he operates between God and the people, the Israelites. God speaking to Moses, Moses speaks to the people. That's what a prophet does. The Old Testament prophets, that's what they did. Now, of course, when Jesus Christ was born, things changed. There was no need for the prophets because Jesus was the full revelation of the Father. So we're blessed to be able to have Christ and his teachings. Very simple message that the Lord gave to Moses. And he told him, go tell this to the people. "Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Though you may have to reprove them or your fellow citizen, don't incur sin because of him." So in other words, if you're going to correct somebody or help them, you don't want to do it like a jerk. You want to do it in a nice way. "Hold no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." In other words, I'm coming to you in a position of authority, the Lord said to Moses. And this is not, again, you know, I would rather not hear this. I would rather not hear these tough messages because they really are tough. They sound easy, but when you try to live this every day, it's not easy. You're going to fail if you try to do it without God's help. You will. A lot of times you fail because you don't cooperate with the grace that he gives you to do this. I fail all the time on this. I don't love my neighbor as myself as much as I should. I just don't do it. And I need to get better at that. But understand this, if God's telling us that he wants us to do it, and all of sacred scripture is God's words to us, it's not just to the Israelites, if he's telling us to do it, obviously we are able to do it. How? With his help. So let's proceed through the readings, but just keep that in the back of your mind. "The Lord is kind and merciful" is the Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with kindness and compassion. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." God's compassionate toward each of us. Are we as compassionate to our neighbors? Are we merciful? Jesus had some tough words about showing mercy. If I don't show mercy toward my neighbor, if I'm not merciful, I can't expect mercy in return from my Heavenly Father. It's as simple as that. God is kind. He is merciful. He loves us unconditionally. And he expects us to try, doesn't mean we can't ever fail, to try to do the same to our brothers and sisters, the people around us. The second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 16 through 23. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God which you are is holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God, for it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. Man, that was a great reading, wasn't it? Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. In other words, we need to start thinking like God. And remember that the Holy Spirit can help us do that. Don't think you're smarter than God. Know also that you, and this ties it together, know that you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. So because you have that Holy Spirit in you, you have the ability, if you really depend on and listen to the Spirit, the ability to think and act as God wants you to think and act. You've got that gift. Also, your neighbor. Remember, love your neighbor, that message of the first reading? Your neighbor is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you get mad or criticize or talk about your neighbor, whoever that may be, your neighbor is everybody. Everybody that you know or everybody, any person at all, everyone in the world is your neighbor. If you talk about that person, if you put bad things about social media about a person, even if you don't know that person's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are literally criticizing or saying derogatory things about the Lord. Nobody ever thinks of that. It's hard. When, you know, I did an interview with somebody recently, and I don't remember who it was, but it was a great point. He said that sometimes we're called to see the Lord in everyone, but sometimes it's very well hidden. And it really is. Sometimes you really have to look for Christ in your neighbor. But he's there. And we're expected to act accordingly. Let's look at the gospel now, because the message is going to be crystal clear after the gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Boy, that's a great way to end that gospel. Don't you love that? That particular verse is one that has always blown me away. That's Matthew 5:48. That's your goal right there. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, you can't do that by yourself. We know that. Why is Jesus saying it? Well, that's our goal. That should be our goal because we have his help. We get the grace from the sacraments. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his real presence in Eucharistic adoration. You know, we're not doing this on our own. So that should be our goal, to be perfect, to imitate Jesus and our Heavenly Father. That should be our goal. He's being tough here, and he's really raising the bar for the people. He's fulfilling this law. He's not abolishing the law, but he's explaining it. He's strengthening it, if you will. And that's what applies to us. We need to love our enemies. That's what these readings are about this week. Does that upset you? It bothers me. It bothers me a lot because I look at my list of needs. I have a lot of needs that if somebody said, Gary, list your top three needs, I could easily come up with them. Is a need of mine, do I have a need on my list that I need to love my enemies more? That might be my greatest problem. But unfortunately, it probably wouldn't show up on my list unless I'm really thinking about it, unless I really listen to the words of Christ as I am now. It's going to be up there now, I'll tell you that much. But it's not typically the type of thing we think about. It's an important thing. It could keep us out of heaven if we're not careful. Jesus isn't pulling punches here. He's not mincing words. He's telling us, if we expect to make it into the heavenly kingdom, which lasts forever. I mean, that's not something that you want to mess up. If we expect to get into his heavenly kingdom, then we're going to have to pay attention to his words. Specifically, love our neighbor. Even when it's not easy, even when it's not easy. And I should say, not just love our neighbor, but love our enemies. That's different. It's okay to love your neighbor if he's nice to you. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, as was stated by the Lord to Moses in our first reading today. But now what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, not only your neighbor, because you hear the word neighbor and there's a pleasant connotation there, right? But love your enemy, the person who wants to do you harm, the person who you don't like at all, the person that makes your skin crawl, the person that you sometimes want to see bad things happen to. Yeah, that's the person who Jesus is calling you to love. That's a very, very powerful statement. It's a challenge. And again, this is a challenging gospel. If you really listen to the gospel, if you really get familiar with the gospels and really read what the Lord is saying, it's challenging. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible. Jesus would not ask you to do something that is not possible. So today, here's what we need to do. We need to pray for an increased amount of grace to enable us to love our enemies. And right now, I want you to think of a person in your life that is very annoying, very hard to love, maybe somebody you could easily call an enemy. You got a person? Say a prayer for that person tonight. Say a prayer and ask the Lord to bless that person. That's the start. That's how this all begins. That's how you and that's an expression of love. You don't necessarily need to take the person out to dinner, but start by praying for them and by asking God to bless them. And if anything pleasant happens in that person's life, say thank you, Lord, for blessing that person. It might be tough for you to do. It might not feel good, but that's what love's all about. I am just about out of time now. I have a few seconds left. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you need anything, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Please keep in mind the donations. It's very much needed. So if you're able to help me out there so I can keep going with these shows, please consider doing that, becoming a monthly sponsor of Following the Truth. That would help me a lot. In addition, the Amazon link, if you purchase things from Amazon, if you just use that link on followingthetruth.com, it would help me, and it's not going to cost you anything extra. And if you like coffee, check out the great coffee offered by Mystic Monk at followingthetruth.com. Don't forget, Spirit in the Morning. If you'd like to listen to it, you can listen on holyspiritradio.org online. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. God willing, I'll see you next week. Take care.